The general view in the West is that Iran's attack on Israel was an abject failure. Whether or not it was a genuine attempt to wound the Israeli state or just a billion-dollar fireworks display, it didn't work. 99% of the drones and missiles were shot down by Israel's allies and its Iron Dome. Israel looks tough again, Iran looks weak. And after months of rebukes from its allies over the Gaza war, Israel's powerful friends have again made their allegiance clear. So what did Iran have to gain? Well, first things first, the Iranian regime is loathed by its own people. Enemies mean survival. It had to be seen to respond to the Israeli attack on its consulate in Syria. And to those who glibly say Iran has the right to defend itself and America would respond with force, which rock have you been living under? Iran has been poking the hornet's nest through proxies for years. Hezbollah attacks Israel from Lebanon in the north. The Houthis in Yemen have attacked vessels in the Red Sea more than 60 times in the last 6 months alone. Hamas began its diabolical war in Gaza by invading Israel with Iran's funding and full-throated support. Fundamentally, Iran doesn't believe Israel has a right to exist. It wants to encircle the country with paramilitary groups and ultimately dominate the region. But like all pariah states, it profits from chaos. And like all dictatorships, its people suffer the most. So what should the Western world do about it? Is this a moment for appeasement or power? Did the attack throw Netanyahu a lifeline? And how will the changing political winds impact the war on Gaza, where millions now face a famine? In a moment, we'll debate those big questions with Mustafa Barghouti, Fleur Hassan-Nahoum, and Francesca Fiorentini. But first, with a view from Tehran, Professor Mohammad Mirandi joins me, who was previously an advisor to Iran's nuclear negotiations team. Well, Professor Mirandi, thank you very much indeed for joining me on Uncensored.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, I've outlined there my view about this situation. I'm sure that you would disagree with much of it, if not all of it. But what is the view from Tehran about what's happened here?
Yes, I think it's pretty fair to say I disagree with all of it. The view from Tehran is quite clear. You know quite well, I know quite well, your viewers know quite well, that the Israeli regime is carrying out genocide. And this stems from an ethno-supremacist ideology. It stems from apartheid. And this is unacceptable. And the people who lived on that land, they have been expelled. The people in Gaza, they live in a concentration camp, now a death camp. And the West has brought about this situation. Whatever crimes that they've committed against Jews and Gypsies and Slavs, they have to pay for it themselves. They can't take it out on the Palestinian people. So the Iranians, along with almost everyone else in the world, except for some people in your part of the world, believe that the apartheid regime has to come to an end. And by coming to an end, it means that all people of that land have to be able to live as equal human beings. I know that sounds very crazy, but ethno-supremacism isn't a good thing.
But the position of the Iranian regime is that Israel shouldn't exist, right?
Well, the position of the British regime is that Israel, as an apartheid state, should continue to exist. The position of the American regime is
If you could look, that wasn't the question I asked you. But is the position of Iran's regime?
I'm answering.
That is. What is the answer to that question?
I'm getting there. The position of the American regime is that apartheid should continue. Iran's position on South Africa had the same gap. There was the same gap back then. When the British and the Americans supported apartheid in South Africa and racial supremacism in the South African regions, Zimbabwe today and so on, back then Iran was supporting the indigenous population. Back then Iran supported the ANC. Back then Iran supported the military wing of the ANC and Nelson Mandela.
But we're not talking about South Africa. I'm talking about what is Iran's regime's current position in relation to Israel.
The Iranians believe that Israel does not have moral legitimacy as an apartheid regime. And the only way that it can gain legitimacy is that if apartheid is cast aside, if ethno-supremacism is cast aside, if racial and religious discrimination in the sense that Muslims and Christians are lesser human beings and they don't have any right to the land that they've been on for hundreds of years, that should be set aside. People who have been expelled have the right of return. It's not very complicated. It's not, as you say, rocket science.
Well, it may not be complicated to you, but what looks complicated to us is that what Iran has been doing in the last few years, if not decades, has been supporting via proxy groups like the Houthis in Yemen, Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, funding and helping to train them to commit acts of war against Israel, firing endless rockets, and as we saw on October the 7th, committing an act of heinous terrorism. So it's not quite as simple as you're trying to picture this, is it? Iran has had a vested interest in supporting terror against Israel for a very long time.
No, I think the regimes that have a vested interest in supporting terrorism are the ones who are giving the Israeli regime the weapons to carry out genocide. And the genocide began long before October the 7th. And the Gaza Strip was a concentration camp long before October the 7th. You know as well as I that October the 7th didn't occur in a vacuum. And the terrorism has been carried out regularly by the Israeli regime on the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip for decades. It regularly bombed them and killed them. And it's not just the Gaza Strip. I think roughly 400 Palestinians have been murdered in the West Bank over the past 6 months. These are regular occurrences, but it doesn't register in the West because, again, the Israelis are they are European. It's a European colony. They have priorities over the brown people of the land. But it is a fact that Palestinian children, according to the statements made by senior Israeli officials, Palestinian women, according to members of the Knesset, they are lesser people. If you look at the South African complaint, they clearly point out the views of these people and the starvation siege and the intention to starve the people of Gaza, women and children. That is because they look at them as inferior people. This is not about two armies. This is about a subjugated people trying to stand up for their rights. If you were in Germany,
and how would you? Let me ask you, Professor. Let me ask you, Professor. How would you categorize what happened on October the 7th? Was that a terrorist attack?
No, it was a retaliation of a people who were imprisoned, and who were starved, and who were regularly battered, and people who were imprisoned.
So you
who
think?
Belonged
so just to be clear, you think that the slaughter of 1,200 people, the raping, the maiming, the incinerating, the mass murder that went on that day by a group whose own spokesman, the Hamas spokesman, said days after that, on television, on camera, that Hamas was wedded to committing the same act again and again and again, as often as it could, which actually is the purest personification of the genocide that you're talking about. You don't condemn that.
You're being dishonest. There is no evidence.
No, I'm not.
There's no evidence of rape, and I ask your viewers to
absolute
look
nonsense.
At,
That's
yes,
nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense that there's systematic rape. And if you are being dishonest intentionally, you are helping the Israeli regime continue its genocide by justifying it through dishonesty. So that's up to you to decide. There is no evidence of systematic rape. And just like the beheadings,
there has been clear
lies,
reported evidence of rape and sexual abuse against Israeli
you,
women. Clear,
I refuse,
demonstrable
I
evidence.
I refer you and your audience to the good work carried out by people at the Gray Zone, at the Electronic Intifada, based in the United States. Many of them are people of excellent. They're excellent reporters, and you should invite them on your show to talk about these allegations.
I've talked to top reporters who've covered this.
Well, but talk
I'm
to them
interested
too.
You only.
But
I'm,
you don't
I'm
have
also
this
interested
evidence.
That you only. I'm also interested, Professor, that you only want to deny that there was rape. You don't want to deny the incineration or the beheadings or the mass murder of Holocaust survivors, the kidnapping of several hundred people, including babies. I mean, do you condemn any of that, or do you think all of that is justified?
Look, Pierce, you're trying to play with words, and that's fine, as long as you're not you're playing because there is no evidence of beheadings. You're just taking the dishonest Israeli regime's account, which they have no evidence, and people have written articles about this.
There was demonstrable, proven evidence that people were beheaded. Evidence. And
so
more than that, we know from Hamas's own video coverage of what they were doing in real time that they proudly broadcast to the world. They didn't try and hide this. I'm just curious why you, who is so incensed by what you see as Israeli genocide, why you would not be equally incensed by genocidal behavior from Hamas that day.
No, you're not being honest. And that's where did they broadcast this footage of beheadings, the Hamas, to the world? Can you put it right now where you
no,
have
no,
a
I
crew
didn't say
right
they
now.
Broadcast the beheadings. There was evidence found of people who'd been beheaded. That was not broadcast. But
can
what
you
was
show the
broadcast
footage?
Was
can
the,
you show the footage?
was the want as you I didn't say there was footage of the beheading. I said there was evidence found that people had been beheaded, right? But I would also say to you that what was broadcast by Hamas of Hamas slaughtering people and kidnapping people, I'm proudly boasting about it, something you seem to be smirking about.
I'm smirking at you.
Why?
Because you are clearly being dishonest. If there were people, innocent people anywhere, whether in Palestine or elsewhere, who were killed by a soldier, by anyone, that is, of course, unacceptable. But then these claims of systematic rape and these claims of these are dishonest claims. People have done hard work to prove that there is no evidence for these systematic rapes and beheadings. And these were used as propaganda to justify the beginning of this Holocaust in Gaza. And those who continue to make these
false allegations. You talk about me being dishonest, Professor. You talk about me being dishonest. But what you've just said is an absolutely shocking example of dishonesty. Hamas didn't even try to hide what they did. They made no secret of their delight, their joy, their pride in what they were doing. Some of them rang family members back in Gaza to boast about what they'd just done to old women, to children. And I'm just curious why you can't find yourself able to condemn this.
In the day and age, Piers, in the day and age when everyone has cameras and there are cameras all over the place, show us the evidence. Show us the evidence. Especially in Israel, which is a society which has cameras all over the place, but you don't have footage of any beheadings and you don't have any footage of any rape. I wonder why.
Well, there were bodies found who had been beheaded. That is a fact.
Show them all these bodies that have been beheaded. Show them on your show. Show those pictures.
How many people do you think were killed that day?
I think roughly 1,100, between 1,100 and 1,200. Many of them were soldiers.
So you accept there was a mass slaughter. Does that constitute genocide to you? Is that an attempt at genocide?
No, it's like you saying that the French Resistance, which was operating against the Nazis, and they go and carry out an operation, and during that operation, some children are sadly killed. So you say, the whole French Resistance is illegitimate, and the Nazis' occupation is legitimate. That's nonsense. If, as I said very clearly, wherever an innocent person is killed, that I condemn, everyone condemns, and I wish you would condemn, because a genocide is taking place, and you are putting forward claims without the justification to make them, without the evidence to make them. I would refer you again to those websites and those reporters and journalists who've proven that the claims were inaccurate, at to say the least, and dishonest, most probably.
Let me turn to, we'll agree about this, so people can make their own minds up, but let me turn to the missile strikes that Iran launched against Israel, 300 of them, it was spectacularly unsuccessful. I mean, it caused barely any damage. Again, you're smirking, you can explain why, but it was a spectacular failure, wasn't it, by Iran? Just a load of showboating and throwing fireworks in the air with actually no result whatsoever, other than they hurt one little girl.
Of course, I'm smirking. It's funny the way in which you always frame things where this, the other and the non-Westerner is incompetent and incapable, and your fantastic Israeli allies are on top of their game. No, in fact, it was a major defeat for the Israelis and for the Americans. And why? Because the Iranians, from the very beginning, well, let me tell you. First of all, the Israeli regime carried out an airstrike on an Iranian embassy. The whole world condemned it. Forget the West. Forget the UK and the US. You are marginalized. You supported it because at the UN Security Council, your regime, the American regime, and the French regime, they prevented the condemnation of the bombing of the Iranian embassy. So the world rallied behind Iran. And Iran said, we're going to retaliate. But what did Iran do? Iran played it very smart. They played 10 days of mind games with the Israeli regime, and then they declared that they're going to carry out the attack. So the Israelis and the Americans and everyone mobilized everything they had, and the Iranians sent hundreds of dirt cheap drones, a few thousand dollars each, to fly, and it took 3 hours for them to get there. And then your Israeli allies spent, according to their own estimates, $1.35 billion to down drones that didn't cost probably $2 million for Iran. The Iranians did not use any of their new technology. It was all old technology. So the Israelis gained nothing, but the Iranians gained a huge amount of information about the capabilities of the Americans and the Israelis. And I must say that most of the things were done by the Americans, not the Israelis or the British or the French. And then the Iranians sent a series of old missiles that they had in stock for a long time, none of it with the latest technology. And then again, the Americans and the Israelis attacked them with very expensive missile defense systems and use all their capabilities, giving the Iranians huge amounts of information. Again, a couple of $1 million. No one is going to buy those old missiles. And then Iran fired a handful alongside these missiles, a handful of serious missiles that were targeted at two bases, the two most heavily military defended military sites in the world, an air base in the south and an intelligence gathering base, I think, in the north. And both of them received direct hits. So the Israelis they showed their hand. They spent a lot of money at a time when these missiles there's a huge shortage of them because of Ukraine. And the Iranians gave no information about their capabilities.
I've got to say, that's one of the more entertaining explanations for such an abject failure that I've heard.
Should I smirk again?
And let me take you back to what Israel said they committed the bombing in Damascus for, was because they discovered that the building was diplomatic in name only and being used as an Iranian military and intelligence base, hence the presence of all these generals, two of whom were killed, along with all the others there. So if it was being used as a military base and they were training Hezbollah, which is what they believe they were doing, then it was a legitimate target, wasn't it?
Well, of course, since you support the Israeli narrative and you are a friend of the people who are carrying out this Holocaust, this ongoing Holocaust, and you don't care about the people in the West Bank.
I don't support any narrative. I'm just asking you if it was being used as a military base, was it a legitimate target if they're training Hezbollah to attack Israel?
You have one of the most extreme narratives, and I think you're doing a disservice to truth.
Actually, I don't at all. I've been very critical of Israel, but I don't believe. Whenever I interview people who can't find it in themselves to actually say what Hamas did on October the 7th, I always find it slightly incredulous. Then whatever else they say, because saw what happened with our own eyes.
People are not intimidated by you. That's the problem. You can intimidate some of your own people, but you can't intimidate us.
I don't want to intimidate anybody. I want to get to the.
That
yeah, I want
gone.
To find out.
That
I'm just fascinated. Okay, let me ask you this.
No, no, let me ask
Professor,
you a question.
I'm not trying to be timid.
That is a diplomatic
No, you don't ask the questions.
Just like the British,
ask the questions.
That is, no, I'm answering your question. That was a diplomatic building. You know quite well that the Israelis had no right to touch it. They committed a crime, and the Iranian retaliation was an act of self-defense. And your own foreign minister humiliated himself on Sky News, which is an outlet that is sympathetic to the regime, when he said, well, if one of our diplomatic buildings were struck, how would the response be? So don't be silly. The Israeli regime, they're always lying, just like the Al-Shifa hospital. They're full of underground tunnels. Where were the tunnels? And then at the beginning, when they struck the Al-Hilli hospital and killed hundreds of people, they said, no, it was the resistance. And the Western intelligence agencies said the same thing. And then we saw them hit hospital after hospital after hospital after hospital. So you put your faith in the narrative of these child killers who bomb hospitals and destroy the very basis of humanity, the very basic needs for ordinary people in Gaza. Come on.
And yet here's the irony, Professor, is that all the attention that was falling actually on Israel's war on Hamas in Gaza, and whether it was a massive overreach and whether too many civilians were being killed, and when we saw the aid workers killed, obviously enraged people as well, it was all heading the way that Iran would have liked, which is that it was general global outrage that was fermenting about what was going on there. Now the narrative has changed, doesn't it? Because what we saw were countries like Jordan racing to help Israel defend itself against Iran's missiles, the ones that you've tried to dismiss but were actual missiles. And how does that help Iran's narrative that Israel are the bad people in the region when you have major Arab countries like Jordan and Saudi offering airspace and so on? How does that help your cause to try and isolate Israel? All you did was achieve the complete opposite, didn't you?
Absolutely not. First of all, the people of Jordan know that the Israeli regime considers the Palestinians to be Amalek. We're not dumb, Pierce, and they're not dumb. The government of Jordan does not represent the people. You know this, and I know that. But more importantly...
Well, the government of Iran doesn't represent the Iranian people, does it?
It represents the Iranian people more than your government represents the British people. But the Iranians...
Actually, I wouldn't say that at all.
I would say that. The Iranians, when they carried out the strike, and by the way, I'll say that at the end. When the Iranians carried out the strike, they punished the Israeli regime and they humiliated the Israeli regime. But nothing is going to distract world public opinion from the Holocaust in Gaza. Don't think that the Israelis can do that. No one can do that. The Holocaust continues as we speak today. When the president of Brazil and other world leaders say what the Israeli regime is doing today to the people of Gaza is just like what the Nazis were doing in Germany, no one is going to forget because the Iranians retaliated.
Okay, let me ask you this. It's been reported today that Israel is preparing to do a retaliatory strike against Iran in some capacity. We don't know how yet. And it's been said, not least by you, that if war spreads, have no doubt all American bases in the Persian Gulf region will be destroyed, and those countries that host American bases will be guilty by association. All those gas and oil installations will be destroyed by drones and missiles. I mean, that's sort of strong rhetoric, but the reality is that if Israel does strike Iran, it has a far more sophisticated and powerful military capacity. And if America was to defend it against any further retaliation of the kind that you're describing, then Iran would get wiped away, wouldn't it? I mean, you can't possibly compete with the combined military firepower of countries like Israel and America. Why would you pretend otherwise?
That's your wishful thinking. The Israeli regime is vulnerable and weak, and it has shown itself to be incapable of taking a dot on the map. They haven't been able to take Gaza after 6 months of genocide. They haven't been able to take even northern Gaza after 6 months of genocide. They have to withdraw at least 100,000 to 200,000 people from northern Israel because they cannot stand up to Hezbollah. They cannot push Hezbollah back. They cannot defeat them. So you think the Israeli regime is going to defeat Iran? Why is it that the Americans are concerned about any Israeli attack because they know exactly what will happen. Next time round, Iran won't be firing those old drones to gather intelligence and to empty the Israeli and the American missiles. Next time, the Iranians will be sending thousands of missiles and drones that are top-notch, and the Israelis will be punished severely. And the reason why the Americans don't want this is because they know that the balance of power has shifted. Pierce, let me give you a word of advice. Your media outlets, regardless of whether Russia or Ukraine is good or bad, that is another issue. Your media outlets in the West have been misleading the people for 2 years now, saying Ukraine is winning, Ukraine is winning. Suddenly everyone is saying Ukraine is falling apart. Dishonest narratives and reporting dishonestly to your own people ultimately hurt the people of England and Europe and the United States. And your endless wars based upon this nonsense and this misinformation lead to huge waves of refugees. And then the people of Europe feel overwhelmed by these refugees that you yourself brought upon yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would return the favour here by saying to you, I think you should wake up to the reality of what your regime is doing. Because it's pretty clear, I think, to anyone who has looked at the situation in its totality, that what Iran has been doing is a direct response to the normalisation of relations with Israel, with a number of countries in the Middle East that annoys Iran intensely because they don't recognise Israel as a state. So what is Iran has been doing is funding and fueling terror groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, to constantly attack Israel, because what they want to do, particularly with October the 7th, is to dismantle and destabilize any more normalization of Arab countries with Israel, particularly Saudi Arabia, who are on the verge of doing it, which is why I think the utterly self-defeating firing of all these missiles the other day actually had the complete opposite effect. Jordan raced to defend Israel, and Saudi offered airspace and also helped defend them as well. And when that happens, it isolates Iran, not Israel. But anyway, we're going to leave it there. Professor Ryan,
let me respond to that. Let me respond to that. Actually, it's the opposite. When the West continues to support the atrocities carried out by the Israelis, when the West openly supports an ethno-supremacist regime, and when the West supports genocide, the public across the region is turning not only against the Israeli regime, but against the West. A few families who are ruling over countries are not public opinion. And ultimately, by pursuing this, they are creating a rage that they cannot stop in future. And just one final point on a personal note. I experienced what the West does to the non-Western world. When your governments were supporting Saddam Hussein, when your governments were arming him in the 1980s, before you turned against him, your governments gave him chemical weapons. I survived two of those chemical weapons attacks. I survived both mustard gas, and I survived nerve agents that were provided by Western government to Saddam Hussein. And many people did not survive. The intentions of Western regimes are not benign. Your governments have done nothing but ruin and destruction for our part of the world and for much of the rest of the world. And now, because of the mess that you've created across the board, you're now ruining the lives of your own people.
Okay. Well, just for the record, I was the editor of the Daily Mirror, which led the UK media campaign against the Iraq War
this
in
was
2003.
Before that.
So I know what you're saying. I'm just saying that I did that. And so your assessment of what I think about what has happened.
I know what you were doing.
I
was at the anti-war protests in London at that time, actually. So I know what you
were
doing.
Right, but you were probably carrying
but
a Daily Mirror banner. Because
we.
I know. It's a complicated situation. Professor Morandi, I appreciate you joining me. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, I'm now joined by the current Deputy Mayor for Jerusalem and Special Envoy for the Foreign Ministry for Israel, Fleur Hassan Nahum, the founder and leader of the Palestinian National Initiative, Mustafa Bugatti, and for a US perspective, the commentator and podcast host, Francesca Fiorentini. Okay, well, that was a lively debate there I had. Fleur Hassan Nahum, what is your response to what you've just been listening to?
I mean, I think if there's something more embarrassing than what happened on Saturday night, we just saw it now with this spokesman for the Iranian regime. He talks about, he takes all of the anti-Semitic and all of the anti-Israel tropes and he puts it all in one sentence with absolutely no truth and depth to it whatsoever, with the fact that ignoring the fact, talking about subjugation, then it is country. If a woman has two strands of hairs showing, they arrest her and they beat her up in custody. They have been subjugating the Kurds for God knows how long. And all in all, what we are seeing here is a civilizational war between Iran that wants to bring back the world 500 years, that really doesn't believe in any of the liberal values that we all hold dear, against the free world. And what's really interesting is that Iran, up until Saturday night, did not show their hand. They were always working through proxies. They were working through Hamas, Hezbollah. They've taken and ruined Syria. They're working through the Houthis. They've been attacking American assets and British assets through the Houthis. They've taken over parts of Iraq. But this is the first time that they've actually shown their hand. And I think that they came out really badly from what happened on Saturday night. So I do agree with you, Piers, on that.
Well, let me bring in Mustafa Barghouti. I mean, I found it curious the way that he tried to claim this was some great victory for Iran and that they had deliberately fired very cheap missiles and that they never expected them to work, et cetera, et cetera. None of that seemed very plausible to me. It seemed much more plausible that they fired off 300 missiles that got taken down, not just by Israel's Iron Dome, but also by some neighboring Arab countries. And what it did do was massively distract world attention from the ongoing Israel-Hamas war, which I would not think is a good thing for you or for what you're trying to get the world to pay attention to.
Well, who started this terrible situation? It's Netanyahu. No. Wait, it's Netanyahu who tried to distract the attention from the massacres he's committing in Gaza and the genocide that has taken the lives of 41,000 Palestinian, mostly civilian. 70% of them are civilians, women and children. 15,000 children slaughtered by Netanyahu. And more than 10,000 women. You speak about women's rights. You don't care about the fact that Netanyahu killed 10,000 women, Palestinian women. And Netanyahu provoked Iran to have a retaliation. So that, shut up, please, and let me finish. Shut up. No, you are.
Shut up to a woman. That's a very misogynist comment.
If you interrupt me, I will not talk. You shut up and let me finish.
You're being very misogynistic.
No. You can't have the right to speak and not allow me to speak. Can you shut up? And because these are figures that are confirmed by the United Nations.
Shut up is a very rude.
And you cannot tolerate held hearing the truth and reality. Shut up your, shut your mouth up and let me finish, please. I did not interrupt you.
Very polite.
If you interrupt me, I will not speak.
Very diplomatic.
Mr. Pierce, you have to be fair and run the show properly. Do you want to do that or shall I leave your show?
Don't lie. Don't lie about numbers. Please don't lie about numbers.
I don't want you to leave the show.
If Dr. Bonucci had told me to shut up, I would.
Hang on, can't allow this lady to finish. Nobody can hear anything. Let me please, can everyone just please?
You can't allow this lady to keep interrupting me.
No, but I would say for the record...
Can I finish my response?
I don't think repeatedly shouting shut up at a woman is particularly edifying either.
Let me finish my talk.
Okay, you may finish your point, yes.
Okay, but it's not because she's a woman. It's because she's interrupting me. Can you ask them not to interrupt me? My condition to participate in your show is that I will not be interrupted and I will be treated in a civilized manner. Will you provide
well,
that or
you
I will leave your
manner.
Show? It's up to you.
I will treat you in a civilized manner. But I think what she was doing...
Then no interruption.
Ask you, this,
you are the okay, one who was, is... Mr. Pierce... You are the one who's running yes. the show. You are the one who's running the show. You are biased to Israel.
What,
we know that. You are pro-Israeli. We know
what?
That. I don't care about this.
I'm
ready to answer any of your questions. But don't let your guests
Mr.
interrupt
Barghouti,
me.
As you know, I have given a platform to more pro-Palestinian guests than any other show in the world, right? So I don't.
No,
I haven't taken a side here. I don't take sides.
You are allowing this lady. You are allowing.
No, I've just told you. You can finish your point.
To interrupt me. She should not interrupt.
No,
me.
No, I've asked her not to.
Well, then let me
finish your point.
This situation was initiated because Netanyahu wanted to provoke Iran. He wants to prolong this war as long as he can, so that he can continue this slaughter of the Palestinian people. He knows very well that the first day of the end of this war, the last day of this war, will be the first day of the end of his political career. He knows he will go to jail because of 4 cases of corruption against him. He knows he will be investigated for the fact that he failed on the 7th of October, and now he's failing in this war. And this man wants to drag the whole Middle East into a terrible fight. He wants to provoke Iran so that exactly what happened will happen, which is to provoke the United States to go into a war with Iran, like the United States was provoked to go into a war with Iraq. That is the reality. And so this whole situation was provoked by an unacceptable attack on a diplomatic mission. Even in wars, countries don't attack diplomatic missions of others. And in this case, Israel violated that law. He provoked also the war by attacking 7 and killing 7 international aid workers. And he continues the genocide against Palestinians. The figures are correct because that's what the United Nations say. 41,000 Palestinians killed, including 7,000 under the rubble, including 15,000 children, including 10,000 women at least, and there are 76,000 other Palestinians injured. Israel is conducting 3 war crimes at the same time: the war crime of genocide, the war crime of ethnic cleansing, and the war crime of collective punishment. And that's why you have about 700,000 people now starving in the north, including 350,000 children. That is the reality. You spoke about terrorism. Who is the terrorist here? Is it the people who are struggling to get their freedom from the longest occupation in modern history? The people who are trying to get out of the system of apartheid? Or is it those who are oppressing them? Let me tell you, the same European mind, the same mind that allowed the horrible Holocaust against Jewish people, is the same mind that is allowing now a Holocaust against Palestinian people. And these people don't care about Jews, don't care about Palestinians, don't care about Arabs. They only care about their interest, about their economic gains, and about a continuation of a settler colonial project that is subjecting Palestinians to oppression and subjecting the whole region into a very dangerous path. That is the reality.
Okay, I gave you a long time to speak there. Let me bring in Francesca, you were nodding to a lot of what you were just hearing there from the staff of Barghouti. Do you broadly agree with him?
I do. And if Mr. Barghouti ever told me to shut up, Dr. Barghouti, I would shut up because I've greatly admired his work over these many years. Look, I'm coming at this as an American. I'm coming at this as someone who just paid their taxes far too much. If you ask me, I'm not a billionaire. They pay next to nothing. And my tax money went to funding what I believe is a genocide and what 57% of Biden voters say is a genocide. That just came out, whether you like it or not. And I also come at this as a mom. All right. I have an 18-month-old daughter, and there are 10,000 women in Gaza who were killed, and 6,000 of them were mothers. There are 19,000 orphans in Gaza right now, and 60,000 pregnant women who are giving birth in abject conditions, who are struggling to eat, to feed themselves, to feed their unborn children, and mothers who are struggling to even nurse because you need so many calories when you're a nursing mom, right? And they are starving. So that's where I'm coming at this from. Why? I'm asking President Biden, why are we continuing to fund this? And thankfully, in response to the Iranian attack, right, which whether or not you believe it was performative or real, whatever it was, Biden has actually, for the first time, hallelujah, argued for some amount of restraint, saying we're not going to go there in an offensive against Iran, depending on what Israel does. Now, that's fine. But also, I'm going to just point out, we're still funding them with billions of dollars of weapons. None of that money, none of that aid has been cut off, as up in arms and upset as some Israeli officials are. And final point, it's okay, very funny, Francesca, to be lectured about. Yeah. Just, it's funny to be lectured about human rights.
Go on, finish your point. Sorry.
Final point. It's funny to be lectured about human rights. Oh, Iran doesn't have human rights. Look, I'm no fan of the Iranian regime. I don't come on here to stump for the Iranian regime. I don't stump for the American regime. I stump for humans and human rights. But it is funny that Israel, which has basically controlled its population and occupies an entire people in order to not make them citizens, in order to deny them fundamental human rights by design, that they are then lecturing other countries about what they do to their own people. Give me a break. We all see through this.
Okay.
As a mom, I want to ask you, how do you feel about one-year-old Kafir Bibas, who is currently in a dungeon, who was kidnapped by Hamas terrorists? A one-year-old, how do you feel about that as a mom? A one-year-old little baby, ginger baby.
That is terrible. That is one one-year-old.
Do you think, would you want your government to go and save your baby? Would you want your government to go and save your baby? Just a question. I'm a mom.
Yeah, tell the Israeli government.
Would you want your government to
get on that? Maybe
would
a ceasefire
your government
would be a
save
good
your
way
baby.
To start doing
okay.
that.
So, yeah. yes. So, 2 years ago, 2 days ago, Hamas rejected another deal for a ceasefire, a very generous deal for a ceasefire, so we can bring back our babies like your 18-month-old baby. What do you say to that?
A
ceasefire.
Sure,
they rejected a ceasefire
I'm sure you're right.
You don't know your facts. I don't know who you are. I don't know what gives you credibility to come on this show, but I'm asking you as a mother.
Pierce, can I
two
ask a
days
question?
Ago, we could have already seen a ceasefire, and Hamas said no. They have a one-year-old baby and his
Excuse
three-year-old
me,
brother
Deputy Mayor
and
of
their
Jerusalem.
Mother.
I know
and
that Israel is planning to go forward
mother.
With an invasion of Rafah.
And
they're going to
okay,
invade
let me,
as a
let me,
mother.
Okay. Hang on a second. All right, don't
mother,
all talk at once.
As a mother, how
yes,
do you,
you
feel about Hamas rejecting the peace,
okay.
the peace
Pierce,
deal
can I
let me
in
take
order
this up,
to stop
please.
The war?
Please.
Let me please take up the conversation. I want to ask Francesca this question. Is that I completely agree that the plight of innocent Palestinians is horrific. The death toll of innocent Palestinian women and children in particular has appalled everybody. However, I also understand that after October the 7th, Israel felt a visceral national desire to go after the people that perpetrated that horrific terror attack. And my question for you would be, going back to October the 7th, what should Israel have done? Given that the people who perpetrated this, Hamas, do embed themselves amongst the civilians in the way that we now know through the tunnel system and everything else based around hospitals and schools and so on, given that that's how they exist in Gaza, given they perpetrated this heinous terror attack, what should Israel have done?
So here's what I would have liked my government to have done. You know, if my government is one of the most advanced militaries in the world, if it has a map of every man, woman, and child in an area that they actually control, the airspace, the land, the sea to, I would expect them to know exactly where the so-called terrorists are. But that's not actually what Israel has been doing. Israel has been using an AI technology that deliberately targets suspected militants, but they're only suspected, meaning they were on a group chat with a it's unfounded. Israeli journalists have covered this. And they target them when? As soon as they enter where? Their homes, where their families are, where it will maximize the amount of civilian casualties. So what I can tell you, what I would want my government to do, and what the United States government has asked Israel to do, although, of course, with a little whimper, please, right, is to be precise, to take a step back, to not just collectively punish the people of Gaza for the crimes of a select small few, many of whom were not even born when Hamas came into power. How can you call this also a war, period? Let's stop calling this a war. A war is when two equal sides actually fight. There's battle lines, there's this and that. I see IDF soldiers parading around with women's lingerie in the homes that they have raided, mocking them, mocking the trinkets, the items, the loved things that the Palestinian people will never be able to hold ever again. That is not a war. This is a genocide. This is a mockery of what should be a so-called war.
Well, I certainly think Hamas knew exactly what they were doing when they did what they did on October the 7th, and they knew the scale of response would be what it was. I think Hamas has shown...
But what are we going to do?
Well, hang on. I just want to say, I think Hamas has shown a willful and wanton disregard for the lives of Palestinian people. You can argue that Israel has too.
But, what about the IDF?
But you cannot argue... Well, I said you can argue that Israel has too, but you can certainly, I think... It's pretty clear and obvious that Hamas knew what the reaction was going to be and didn't care. Let me bring back Fleur Hassan Nahum. I mean, it seems to me that Israeli people, they support at the moment Netanyahu and his war cabinet in their mission to eradicate Hamas. All the polls show that, but they don't support Netanyahu himself. It seems to me the only way we're ever going to get peace in this region now is that Netanyahu will have to go, along with the more right-wing members of his cabinet, some of whose rhetoric has been absolutely genocidal. I think they have to go. I think that Hamas has to go. And we need clear leadership which can actually forge peace of the kind that we eventually got in Northern Ireland after many decades of terrorism and struggles.
Well, here's the thing, Pierce. Everybody wants to blame Netanyahu and this government for something that we've been dealing with for 100 years. We've had a lot of attempts at trying to make peace with the Palestinians. It started in the 1930s when the Peel Commission gave Israel about 15%, 20% of what we have today. And the Palestinian leadership at the time said no. In 1947, the UN wanted to split the country in a Palestinian state and an Israeli state. The Palestinians said no. We had all of the Oslo process. We had a very, very generous offer by Ehud Barak in 2001, another one by Ehud Olmert in 2019. At every single juncture where the Palestinian leadership could have done the right thing for their people and create a state to give people the potential to have good neighborly relationships with Israel, to be an incredible superpower, they've always opted for destruction and war and terrorism rather than peace. Everybody in Israel wants peace. We send our children to war. I'm a mother of four. I have two children in the army. Nobody wants to send their kids to harm's way. But everything Israel does and everything it's ever done has been defensive. We want to live in peace. And you know what the proof of that is? That every single Arab country that has wanted peace with Israel has got peace with Israel. We have peace with Egypt. We have peace with Jordan. We've had peace with the UAE. We have peace with Bahrain, Morocco, Sudan, and please God, very soon with Saudi Arabia. And why do these countries want peace with Israel? Because they understand that the region is split into two. The countries that want peace and prosperity and the countries that want destruction and death run by Iran. And the problem with the Palestinian leadership is that they've always fallen pawns to that game. Do you think the Iranians care about the Palestinian? The Palestinians just know that it plays well on the Muslim streets. They don't care. They want Shia control of the region. regions. They want America out of the region, and they want a new world order. And unfortunately, the Palestinians have been plagued with bad leaders who have always opted for themselves, for a kleptocratic regime or a genocidal regime. Mr. Barghouti works for a regime that pays pensions to terrorists, that teaches children in their educational system to hate Israel, and one day all the Jews will go in the sea. This is part of their education authority. And Mr. Barghouti knows better than anybody that Hamas killed his own people in 2006 when Israel left.
Okay, let me bring
Hamas,
in. Okay.
Gaza is not occupied.
Okay, let me.
Gaza is
okay.
not occupied. Israel left in 2005 and killed Mr. Barghouti's friends and colleagues for being in power up until that time.
Okay.
But you're not going to hear Mr. Barghouti criticizing Hamas, even though Hamas hates him more than they hate me.
Okay, well, let me give the final word to Mustafa Barghouti.
You know it is. You know it is. You know it is.
Well, listen, don't interrupt me, please. Let me answer. I did not interrupt you at all. Okay. The presentation that was made as if Israel is a very peaceful country. Israel did not conduct more than 15 wars during the last 70 years. Israel was established by the destruction of 520 Palestinian communities. Don't interrupt me, I told you.
Who started the war?
Israel was established by committing 52 massacres in 1948. Avi Shlaim, a very and highly respected Israeli academic and historian working at Oxford University, did a thorough research in which he could not find a single evidence that Israel accepted the partition plan in 1947. But they claim they did, which is a big lie. And in my opinion, you asked Mr. Pierce,
recorded.
What should Israel have done? I tell you what should Israel have done. Israel should have declared that it will end its illegal occupation of Palestinian land, which has lasted now for 76 years of ethnic cleansing and 56 years of illegal military occupation. Israel should have declared that it is ready to end the system of apartheid so that we can have peace. We can have peace only through two ways. Either Israel would end its occupation of Palestinian land, remove its illegal settlers who are attacking us, terrorist settlers everywhere, remove them from the occupied territories, allow Palestinians to have a state of their own without occupation, without control, without hegemony, without apartheid, or let's live together in one democratic state with equal rights.
Where you do not impose
on us a law that says that the right of self-determination is for Jewish people only. When you interrupt me psychologically, you are trying to impose your occupation on me. Even occupying my right, even occupying my right to speak. This is what you are trying to do. And it is unacceptable. And I don't want to tell you to shut up again, but you deserve more than shut up, actually. So please let me finish.
Yes, you want to kill me.
In my opinion, this way of presenting Israel as if it's a country of peace is incorrect. The reality,
yes,
it's a country of war.
Yes, we are.
You have dragged your people into one crime after the other. And you claim lies, continue to say lies about decapitation of children, about rape of women. You claim that Hamas is oppressing me without allowing me to say that this is not true. By which law you are doing that? And let me tell you,
you say that I am against killing any child, Palestinian,
Israeli, or any child anywhere. But you claim
me
that
too.
30 Israeli
me
children
too.
Were killed on the 7th of October. Tell me 10 names. No names
Mr. Barghouti,
were published
do you believe in
ever.
A two-state solution?
It was not
Do you
proven.
Believe in a two-state solution,
the only,
Mr. Barghouti?
According to
do you
CNN,
believe in a two-state
according
solution?
To CNN and Western media,
do you
media,
believe in a two-state solution?
The youngest
solution?
Person who was killed on the 17th, wait. The young, that was one young person who was only 14 years old that was killed on the 7th of October. And you claim 30 were killed. Give me their names. And
lying,
I'm telling
Mr.
you,
Bagruti,
killing 30
names.
Children does not justify even killing 15,000 children.
With their mothers.
The blood of
we
these children the is on your hands and on your brain and on your conscious. And the world will not
Mr.
allow
Bagruti,
this to continue.
I believe,
because at the end
Mr.
of the
Bagruti,
day,
I have
at
one
the end
question.
Of the day,
I believe
we'll take five names.
You can't, Mr. Bagruti, can't continue to interrupt me.
I believe in Palestinian self-determination. I'm asking
when
your question.
You
I want a debate. I want a dialogue
when you
with you.
Me,
I
you
want
show
a dialogue
weakness,
with you.
Not strength.
I want a dialogue. I'm asking your question.
You want a dialogue, so let me finish.
I believe in Palestinian self-determination.
How
do
can I have dialogue
in
when you keep interrupting me?
I'm asking your question.
Do you
my
agree?
Question.
Do you accept to end occupation? Do you accept to end occupation
I
and
the
allow
Palestinian
us to live together in one democratic
I
state?
I believe in
with
finding
equal
a resolution.
Rights? Where I can be running, I can be running to be your prime minister, for instance, in a democracy. Would you accept that?
We have our
would you accept
our
that I have
Knesset.
The same right
we
like you do?
Of
you don't, because
we
you say that Palestine is
Mr.
for
Bagruti,
Jewish people
you know
only,
very well. We have Arab members
and that
of
is Jewish supremacy.
We have Arab judges.
That is the
we
kind
have Arab
of
doctors. We have Arab
okay.
members of Knesset.
Please let
you are
me
lying.
Finish.
You're confusing people. You
can
don't
you,
believe
can you please
Israel
be
has
silent
any
let me finish.
In
Pierce,
our
I have
ancestral
to say the last
homeland.
Word, please.
You don't
okay,
believe
listen,
we have any
there's no point
any
talking
rights.
Over each other because
you
then
don't
we
believe
cannot even
we have
tolerate
any rights. In our ancestral
you,
homeland. That's your problem. And that's how you lie to your
you
people.
Cannot
you tell
stop
them one
me from
day,
talking,
we will
madam.
Leave. But let me tell you something. We're never leaving.
Oh,
so the
stop.
Only way
you
forward
shut up
is
and
to
let
find
me finish.
A peaceful resolution. The only way forward is right, to find a peaceful resolution because we're not leaving.
All right, Mustafa Barghouti, just
okay.
Mr.
Finish,
Morgan,
just
can
finish
I
the point can
I just
making.
Finish my sentence, please?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What you have just seen is a very good example of the Israeli behavior. A supremacist approach where they cannot even want to allow us to express our opinion. It's an oppressive approach where this lady cannot even tolerate to hear my opinion. I'm asking for equality.
Because you're lying.
I'm asking for respect of human rights for everybody. I'm asking, and you are not only lying, you are a criminal. You are a participant in a war crime against Palestinian people. And because you feel guilty deep down, or maybe you don't feel guilty because you
I
are used
no
to
guilt.
Committing crimes
I'm
against
very
Palestinians,
proud
it's up
of
to
my
you.
Country
but
that
I'm
has
telling
built
you,
a wonderful
you
country,
and your government and your regime will not suppress our right
us.
Not only to struggle for our freedom, but also to say our to say freely what we believe in. Your approach is a reflection of the behavior of an occupier who cannot tolerate
okay,
the truth
I have to,
because the truth is
painful.
I have painful.
To leave it there.
You will
and
not have freedom
you have
until
part
you accept
I have to,
it.
I have to leave it there. We've run out of time.
That we're not going.
We've run out of time. I
have
to leave it there. I
until
want to thank,
you accept
I want to thank all three of you. I want to thank all three of you very much. And the answer to all problems like this is to keep talking. However difficult it may seem and however fractious it gets, I believe in the power of discourse. And I will keep having everyone on to debate this, and hopefully eventually we can get to a resolution or points of agreement. Seems a long way off at the moment, but thank you all for joining me. Appreciate it.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.